Chapter 18. The young Jedi fell, her body gripped with convulsions. A strangled cry filled the vivarium. "Interesting," Mejon Quad said, watching the reaction. "Do you see, Adept Yim, that—"
"I fail to see what interests you, Master Mejon Quad,"
a voice said from behind. Nen Yim turned and immediately supplicated. Another master had just entered the vivarium. Once so incredibly ancient, the signs of his domain were entirely obscured. His headdress was a fragile, cloud-like mass, and both hands were those of a master. Both of his eyes had been replaced by yellow mites. He was accompanied by an adept aide.
"Master Yalfath," Mejon Quad said, "how good to see you, ancient."
"Answer me, Mejon Quad. What so interests you about this creature's agony? She is an infidel and cannot embrace the pain. There is no surprise in that and nothing interesting in it."
"It is interesting because the provoker spine ray causing her pain has been designed to do so selectively,"
Mejon Quad replied.
"One nerve array at a time. What we have just seen is a reflex unknown in Yuuzhan Vong. We may now confidently map a part of the human nervous system that has no counterpart in our own."
"And this is of what use?" Yalfath asked.
"We cannot shape what we do not know," Mejon Quad answered. "The species is new to us."
"It strains the protocol," the old master said. "What can be discovered that is not codified already?"
"But, master," Ninyan Sim, supplicating as she did so, "surely in a new species—"
She broke off when the master flicked the gaze of his Ma'its toward her.
"Are all of your adepts so insolent?" he asked dryly.
"I should hope not," Mejon Quad said stiffly.
Yalfath turned back to Nen Yim. His headdress writhed slightly in the air, turning a pale blue.
"Adept, if knowledge is not to be found in the archives and sacred memories, what then does a shaper do?"
Fear glittered in the Nen Yim's nerves. What could he see with those strange eyes? The Ma'its probed the hidden regions of the spectrum, of course, and the domain of the microscopic. But did they peer farther yet, into the sins crouched beneath her skull? She contracted the tendrils of her headdress into a ball, a deep supplication.
"We petition the Supreme Overlord Master that he might ask of the gods."
"Correct. There are no new species, Adept. All life comes from the blood and flesh and bone of Yun Yuuzhan. He knows them all. Knowledge cannot be created. That is the stuff of heresy. If the gods do not grant us knowledge, it is for good reason, and to seek further is an attempt to steal from them."
"Yes, Master Yalfath."
"I suspect this is not your fault, Adept. It is your own master who uses the provoker spine ray, so you are susceptible to her influences."
Mejon Quad smiled gently.
"The protocol of Song specifies the use of the provoker in just such a manner."
"I am aware of that. But you strain the intent of that protocol, not to breaking, perhaps. And yet who knows what I might have observed had I arrived a little later?"
"Are you accusing me of something, Master?"
Mejon Quad asked mildly.
"If not, one might believe you are merely jealous, because Lord Shimra chose Domain Quad for the honor of this shaping."
"I accuse you of nothing. Nor am I jealous. But dangerous heresies have surfaced in recent years, most often among Domain Quad."
"I have never been accused of heresy, nor have any of my subordinates," Mejon Quad said. "If you try to bathe me in the filthy secretions of slander in a pitiable attempt to regain the favor of your domain with Lord Shimra, you will discover I can be a most unresting foe."
The old shaper drew himself very erect. "I do not slander, but I watch, Mejanquad. Rest assured, I watch. And now," he broke off suddenly and staggered. His aide caught him. Nanyim was still wondering what had happened when she suddenly felt something pressing her entire body, as if she were deep under water. Her lungs labored to draw the syrupy air, and her pulse hammered. Through flashes of blue and black, she saw that Mejanquad and Yalfoth's aide were also struggling to breathe. The pain increased sharply. Soon her eyeballs would collapse, then her heart. Striving for calm, she spun her failing gaze around the room. The young Jedi stood at the side of the vivarium, hands pressed against the transparent membrane. Her green eyes blazed, and her teeth were drawn back from her lips in a rictus of fury. Nanyim saw murder there, and suddenly understood. She staggered toward her master. Mejanquad had already collapsed. The old villip that controlled the provoker spine ray had fallen from her hands. Nanyim took it up and stroked the variable tissues, all of them at once. The Jedi screamed and pounded on the membrane, and for an instant the pressure actually increased, crushing so hard that Nanyim couldn't breathe at all. Then, more suddenly than it had come, the uncanny pressure relented, and her lungs jerked in a much-needed breath. The Jedi writhed on the floor of her chamber. Nanyim watched her, reaction starting to set in. An eight-fingered hand fell on Nenyim's shoulder. "Adept," her master said in a strained voice, "the old villa, please, before the specimen dies." Nanyim nodded dumbly and handed Mejanquad the organism. Mejanquad adjusted it until the Jedi stopped her contortions and succumbed to unconsciousness. "That was well-wrought thinking, Adept," Mejanquad told her. "What happened? Tell me," Yalfoth demanded impatiently. "The Jedi did it," Mejanquad replied. "Surely you've heard of their powers." "Do not insult me. I am, of course, current on the information concerning the Jedi. They can move objects, communicate with one another as villips do, even influence the minds of weaker creatures, but there has never been any evidence that they can affect Yuuzhan Vong. Quite the contrary."
"I beg the Master for permission to speak," Nanyim said.
Yalfoth gave her a reluctant glance. "Speak."
"The Jedi did not affect us, not directly. She affected the molecules of the atmosphere, compressing them."
"She tried to crush us with our own air?"
"And would have succeeded but for my adept," Mejanquad observed.
"Amazing. And this power, it is not generated by implants of any kind."
"She has no implants, either biological or—"
her voice lowered—
"mechanical. From our earlier interrogation, she believes that she is manipulating a kind of energy produced by life."
"Ridiculous," Yalfoth said. "If such a power existed, why would the gods deny it to the Yuuzhan Vong?"
Mejanquad smiled a carnivorous smile. "The gods have not denied it to us. They merely withheld it for a time. And now they have delivered it."
She stepped to the vivarium membrane and parted it with a flick of her fourth finger. She knelt by the unconscious Jedi and stroked her face.
"She is young, her body and mind still pliant to shaping. The warriors promise us more like her soon."
She stood, looking down at the creature for a few moments, then stepped away and resealed the membrane. The old master shrugged. "For the glory of the Shapers and the Yuuzhan Vong, I wish you success." He sounded doubtful.
"You may observe any time you wish," Mejanquad said.
To Nanyim, it seemed as if her master was taunting Yalfoth. But the old master ran a negative ripple through his tendrils. "Among other things, I've come to take my leave. The new project awaits me, a shaping that will end this Jedi threat forever." Mejanquad stiffened a bit.
"Oh?"
she said politely. Indeed. Under interrogation, the infidels who serve us admitted that they were tricked by those who presently harass our ships in space. From this information came a most interesting item, about a certain sort of beast, one that can sense and hunt these Jedi.
The infidels know where to find these beasts?
No, Yalfoth said. Not those on this moon, at any rate. But we have sources in their Senate, and one of them was able to discover and provide the information. As it turns out, the beasts are native to a world already in possession of our Lord Shimra, a planet the infidels call Mirker. I am to oversee the shaping of these beasts.
Interesting about these beasts, if true.
Mejan Quad aloud. For the glory of the Yuuzhan Vong, I wish you well. I also wish you success in leaving the system. Apparently the infidels have been quite successful in preventing outgoing traffic.
I have no fear, the ancient master replied. If Yun Yuuzhan wants my life, it is his to take. But I suspect he has many tasks for me yet.
Captain, one of the Yuuzhan Vong warships has broken orbit, Hasishi said. It has a substantial escort.
Card stroked his mustache. Get Solasar up here. Meanwhile, close distance, and have the Aetherway and the Idiot's Array lay down a barrage. Let's keep her in the gas giant's mass shadow for as long as we can.
Yes, sir,
Dankin the pilot returned. And get Solasar up here, Card repeated. We'll need him for this.
I'm already here, Captain Card.
Indeed, Solasar was standing just behind him.
Ah, perfect.
The Yuuzhan Vong are trying to punch a ship through our defenses, presumably to leave the system. My question is, should I let them go?
You haven't let any others go, Solasar pointed out.
True. But none of those tried in such force. If we fight here, I'll lose ships, more than we can spare. If I thought relief was on the way, I might risk it. As it is, I need to know. Are there Jedi on that ship?
For an instant, Card saw a twinge of what might pass for fear in the Jedi's eyes.
I can't be certain, Solasar said stiffly. Why not? I can't sense the Yuuzhan Vong in the Force. Their ships might as well be lifeless asteroids as far as my senses are concerned. Then I should think the children would stand out in quite a spectacular manner.
They should, and they don't. If it weren't important, I would say there are no non-Yuuzhan Vong on any of those ships. But it is important. If I'm wrong, we might end up letting them go. Then we'd be fighting here for nothing.
How might you be wrong? I don't understand.
The Yuuzhan Vong not only don't exist in the Force, they make me doubt my Jedi senses altogether. They make the whole area murky somehow. I've no better way to explain it.
Card looked back at the screen. The Yuuzhan Vong had scrambled fighters.
I can't wait much longer, Solasar. I have to decide.
Forget the ships. Try to sense them on the moon. If they're still there, they can't be on that warship.
I'll try, the Jedi said.
He closed his eyes.
Card watched the enemy fighters race closer. So far he had managed hit-and-run operations at minimal risk to his people. He'd made good use of mines and asteroids and other classic guerrilla weapons of intrasystem war. But if he had to stop that ship, he would have to commit to a real stand-up, slug-it-out battle, a battle he could win at the cost of the war. Maybe that was all they wanted. His instinct certainly told him that this was a decoy of some kind, not what he was fighting for. Solasar seemed to concur. But if they couldn't be sure...
First fighter wave in 30 seconds, Hasishi said tonelessly.
Get ready, people.
A good crew. They would die if he asked them to.
Tahiri, Solasar breathed. His face was beaded with sweat.
What's that?
Tahiri. And Valen. Sana. Anakin. They're all down there.
His voice dropped lower into a register of anguish.
Tahiri's been tortured.
But they're down there.
Yes, I'm sure of it.
Thank you, Jedi Solasar. Dankin break off the attack.
We're letting this one go. Lay down minimal cover fire and tell the other ships to burn jets. We'll fight another day, people, when it really counts.
Card took a deep breath, trying to release the pent-up tension in his neck and shoulders.
And hope those Solo kids find that rogue Tarek before we have to fight that fight. After this, I'm definitely looking into getting my own Star Destroyer.